Damn it, it's a Monday. 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 Damn it.
You're trying to overcompensate now.
Yes, I am. That's what I do.
Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. One of us is overcompensating. Can you guess which one? Although I did something fun. One of the commercials we played was in Spanish, so I thought I would just point that out to anybody listening, that that commercial was in Spanish. Did you hear that?
I did hear that, although you meant to just tell Kevin that, like he didn't know. But listeners, if you were thinking that and listening to the stream...
I think all of our commercials should be in Spanish. I like it better that way.
I don't know Spanish.
It gives it more of a it gives the show kind of a international sound.
Flair. Go ahead and say flair.
Some flair. So this week we should do them all in Spanish, next week in French, then in German. I just think it's better for the listener to get a scope of what the globe is like.
Diversity. That's what we do on this show.
Right? What's wrong with that?
Can I just say the look on your face when you realized you said it on the air instead of just in Kevin's little ear was priceless.
I know. They shouldn't give me buttons.
You fault. Only have one.
I only have the one button, but that's too many. They shouldn't give me even one button. I don't know whose decision it was to let me have access to a button, but it's like it's the second scariest one guy having access to a button story in the United States. There's one scarier.
Uh-huh.
There's only one scarier. I don't want to talk about it. All right, so this is it. This is the Monday version of our show. Listen in, enjoy. Some of the commercials will be in Spanish. Is your head still hurt? On the other show, we realized, we found out that Wendy almost brought herself to concussion over the weekend. Very close.
I may have concussed myself. Oh. I'm not sure. The point of my story is I was at Nordstrom Rack. I was trying on some shoes, and they laced up, so I tied them. And when I stood up, stood up fervently, and I whacked my head on the cart, and on the handle of the cart. I didn't know what happened. I didn't black out, but I saw stars and...
It's like when in a cartoon, like if a cat is chasing a mouse in a Warner Brothers cartoon and he hits his head on something and you see those stars go around.
You can make that noise.
Rocket chips. Which one of the...
The stars going around?
Oh, I can't do it. I can't.
How about running? A cartoon running.
Like that?
Like the Flintstones.
Yeah.
But it was very much like that, and it was like a second of black and then stars, and then I didn't know what happened, and I'm like, did I just get shot in the head? And I know, you know, God forbid, I want to go through my whole life without ever getting shot, but I didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
And so then I was feeling kind of woozy, and I meant to text Jimmy Mack, and I was supposed to be out shopping all day, and I thought, I better come home. I want to put some ice on it. So I texted something. Which basically just said, I'm going to be coming home. I bent down to try some shoes on and I came up and hit my head on the shopping cart and I saw stars and I'm feeling really weird. But I didn't send it to my husband, Jimmy Mack. I sent it to my neighbor, Rose, inadvertently.
Sure. That makes sense.
And right away she answers, "You need help?" And then I'm just giggling the whole rest
of
the day.
You should have said, "Yes, please come and get me."
No.
What would she have done?
She would have come to get me. Rose will do anything for you. She is that awesome of a neighbor.
But that's the true test. Just say, "Rose, where are you when I need you? Come and help me."
Well, then I felt really stupid. So you need help. And I put, "No, I meant to send this to Jim." And just so you know, Rose, I did keep shopping and I bought the shoes. And she said, and then I was just laughing at myself. I was just laughing the whole rest of the day.
You shared a little moment from your weekend with your neighbor. What's wrong with that?
But
that's a good thing.
My head is so tender. There's a big, like, goose egg on it.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't, when I went to brush my hair, it hurt so badly, so I didn't blow dry my hair.
You got
to
be careful.
I have the wavy look today.
Put some packing bubbles around it.
And just wear it all the time?
Yes.
I should wear a helmet when I shop.
Yes. I'm surprised you shop without a helmet. When I first got the Jeep that I have, it has a feature on there, and I don't know how, I can't imagine how humans survived without this feature, but you know the old days when you had to open your trunk and close your trunk?
Yes.
Well, not anymore. Now there's a button on the side.
It's awesome.
That just closes it automatically. All right, so I was shopping at the Jewel, and I put some stuff in, and then I thought I was done, so I closed the button, and then I realized there was one more small bag, so I went and I put that in, and while I was doing it, like the car doesn't know, so it closed the hatch on me, and the truck came down and hit me in the head.
Did you see stars?
I didn't see stars, but what I saw was a dumb guy, me, going, that's why I shouldn't be allowed to have features like this on my car.
Although it's supposed to stop if something is in the way.
Mine doesn't stop. It comes down harder.
Like a guillotine.
Because I'll teach you a lesson for having an extra bag, you doof. And it just closed on my head. I could have been killed.
You know, a lot of people say that Chicagoans say the jewels.
The jewels?
Okay. I don't say the jewels, but it's funny because I would always say I'm going to the jewel.
Yeah.
You just said that yourself.
That's accurate.
Yeah, but we never said we're going to the Marianos.
Oh.
Isn't that
so
weird?
Why would that be?
Because we feel funny just, we're going to Jewel.
Yeah, you would never say just Jewel. You say the Jewel.
But you wouldn't, when it was Dominic's, you wouldn't say I'm going to the Dominic's.
No. Is it because Mariano's and Dominic's are names of Italian fellas, whereas Jewel is...
She's an Italian lady, maybe.
I don't think so. I think the Jewel is named after like a, you know, a piece of jewelry, I think, like a diamond or something.
It's I never say after... I'm going to the Walmart. I think I figured it all out.
But people have said the wall.
Just
they?
I'm going to Walmart.
Just Walmart? Yeah.
I'm going to Target, not the Target. But I figured it out just now as I questioned you, hearing you say it.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in Brookfield. There was one Jewel. So I'm going to the Jewel.
But if there was just one Dominic's or one Mariano's, you would have still said Mariano's or Dominic's, right? You wouldn't have changed it, even if there was one.
Yeah, I guess not.
I always thought it would be cool. You know the singer Jewel?
Mm-hmm.
She should have married a guy whose last name was Osco. That would have been so much better for everybody if her name then became Jewel Osco. That would have been excellent.
How do you sleep at night when you lay awake thinking of
like
these
things?
Like
a baby. Mostly because I hit my head with the back of my
yeah.
Jeep.
That'll knock you out.
That knocked me out.
I did worry about being concussed because they say the worst thing to do is go to sleep. So I was wondering, should Jim wake me up every hour?
Every hour on the hour. I've never had a concussion. Have you ever had one?
I had one concussion. I know you don't really laugh at me. You almost pity me when I talk about these family vacations that we've had.
Yeah.
There was one time we were driving to go to Cape Cod. Never have been there before. And we all got in our cars and we were driving and we got hit by a semi on the way.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Aunt was driving in her car with my cousin Susie, Aunt.
Yeah.
And then there was my mom, my sister, and I in our AMC Hornet hatchback, not a Pacer. This was a station wagon.
Nice.
And I was kind of laying in the back seat. I was little, and probably 12 years old, 10 or 12 years old. And a truck was in the left lane and decided to come in the right lane where my sister was driving and just kind of hit us off the road. With the cab, not the trailer. So it wasn't a matter of misjudging it.
Yeah.
He just didn't see us. And my sister kind of steered to get control somehow. And then the truck was still moving and pushed us into a guardrail. And
you could have been killed or worse.
I know. So the back part of the station wagon folded over me and some of the luggage went flying forward.
No.
And there was the corner of the luggage was indented by my head. So my head obviously hit the corner of the luggage.
Wow.
No one was killed. No one was injured. My sister had some marks on her neck from the seatbelt. This is pre-airbag and everything.
Yeah.
And then I guess my aunt was farther along the road. And she had pulled over when she didn't see us in the rearview mirror. And some trucker pulled over right behind her and said, were you traveling with the yellow Hornet station wagon
yeah.
with the wood paneling? Very, very,
very nice.
Very nice.
That sounds nice.
And my aunt says, well, yes, we are. And the trucker said, they were just involved in an accident. Everyone was up and out of the car, so they seemed to be okay. But you might want to swing around, do the U-turn, and go back. And that's what aunt did.
Wow.
And never made it to Cape Cod, and I've never been there.
Oh, that's awful.
So
you easily could have been killed.
It was pretty scary. And that's when I had a concussion. I went to the hospital and they said I had a mild concussion. And my mom was advised to wake me up every hour and make sure I was responding well.
Yeah. Is that the time duration? They say every hour.
That's what they told
Once
us back
hour.
Then. I mean, things may have changed. This was a long time ago.
I remember this was not me. This was somebody that I was with. We had relatives visiting. You know how sometimes you'll have a relative and then they have relatives that are not related to you because it's on the other side of the family?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So my aunt for a while lived in Minnesota, and she had a bunch of other relatives that lived there. And two of her, even though I was her nephew or great nephew, I guess, and I am, I am the best nephew. That's what my coffee cup says, so it must be true, Wendy. So, all right, so it's my brother and I were her nephews, but then she also had a niece and nephew from the Minnesota side of her family, and they were over visiting. And the boy was a little bit younger than my brother and the girl was a little bit older. And at the time, my brother and I had something that I think I'll have to explain, because I don't know that anyone has ever heard of this, but we had a thing called a jumpaline, which is like a trampoline, but you would inflate it, and then you could put it out in your yard. And it was like a little miniature inflatable trampoline.
That's
but it was
pretty
called
cool.
A jumpaline. It was cool. So during the summer months, it would be outside, and we'd play with it in the yard. But during the winter months, we'd bring it inside. And what we would do was we had a stairway that went from our main level down to the basement that had 9 stairs. So we would play this game where my brother would jump from the first stair onto the jumpaline. Then I would jump from the second stair, and he would do the third, and we never got higher than the fifth because we thought, this is getting dangerous after 5 stairs.
Thank God reason kicked in.
I know. We were very smart. So then these other relatives kind of sort of from Minnesota came over, and they wanted to play with the jumpaline, and we told them our game, and the girl said, why do you stop at 5? You got 9 stairs. Go all the way to the top. And we said, well, we've done it in the past, which we never had, but we wanted to seem cool. We've done it in the past, and it's really not as scary as you'd think, so we don't do it anymore. So she goes all the way to the top, and she jumps, and she hits her head on the ledge. She just like it's hard, like the biggest smack you've ever heard. She hits her head on the ledge and then falls on the stairs, and she's out cold.
She knocked herself out?
She knocked herself out, but we thought
she died.
She was dead. We were sure she was dead. So we're
so
trying
to
figure out.
Put a blanket over and go to the neighbor's house?
Well, we're all contemplating, including her brother, who's going to take the blame for this.
Oh, my God.
You know, and we're thinking, we've seen movies. you're supposed to close the person's eye. We were like going to do that because she was just staring straight up and go, and she was still making groaning noises, but we were sure this was her last gasp, that she was about to pass away.
How terrifying.
Oh, it was awful because we had just met her. I mean, it was awful for all parties, but we're like, this is so sad. We've only known her an hour and a half.
I didn't even know her last name.
Right. Right. It's terrible. And then my brother goes, will we even be mentioned in the obituary? We're not really relatives. And we're like, well, that's a good question.
Your brother always wanting the spotlight. Will there be a mention of us?
So she's just laying there, and we call the priest, and we're like, what do you do last rites for a situation like this? He goes, not for a jumpling, you don't do last rites. So, eventually, her family came, and she came too. And we're even trying to remember, like, you know how you see in the movies, they do smelling salt.
They break a tablet open. And
so my brother goes, get some salt. And we're like, yeah, we got to get salt, because we just thought it was any kind of salt would work. And it didn't work. She just kept laying there, and she's looking straight up and making groaning noises and stuff. But it was determined later, was suffering from a concussion. And my parents were like, well, thank goodness you know what to do. And we didn't know what to do. I said at the time, to sound like a hero, I go, they wanted to move her. And I said, no, you should never move somebody who's had a concussion. But I didn't know.
No, that's a back injury.
I thought, yeah, it turns out that's true. But they were like, well, thank goodness you knew that.
Back her neck. So, and she could have hurt her neck. So here's my question. Like, you have the stairs going down.
Yeah.
And there's like a wall that kind of comes down. Is that what she hit?
Yeah, she hit that overhang.
Yes, so why would she think for a minute she could have gone from the top stair to the jumpaline?
She thought she could have cleared it, but
no.
If you looked at it realistically, like, that's why we would always stop at the fifth step, because you look at trajectory and you go, if gravity takes any effect at all and you're going to hit your head, and she was taller than us. She was like a year or two taller than us. But, boy, that was a close one. We were sure we lost her. No more jumpling jumping after that, by the way. Only outside.
You learned.
Yeah, we learned.
Don't
from
play
that.
Jumpaline in the house.
Are they going to sponsor the show from now on? Because they should do their ads in Spanish if they do.
We are going to take a break. We've got some news with Judy Pilek, and then we're going to check in with Ryan Burrow, who has been busy all weekend. Yeah. He's out in Texas, and just some horrific pictures that were coming over. We discuss it and find out what's going on in the Houston area. It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's 720 WGN. And it's Bill and Wendy. Judy, thank you so much. Ryan Burrow has been covering what's going on in the Houston area thanks to Hurricane Harvey. Ryan, are you with us?
I am. How you guys doing?
Good. Where are you located now?
The slightly west of downtown. We're getting ready to head back out to the evacuation center, at least one of them. There are these mega shelters. Well, at least the one we're going to is a mega shelter. It houses right now about 2,500 people. That is probably going to be up there over 3,000 by the time we arrive. That shelter alone can handle up to 5,000 people, and they're still getting brought in on the busload and truckload. Some people coming in, they've been converting these public works dump trucks essentially into places where they can hold a lot of people. Unfortunately, while they drive them there, it's pouring in the meantime, so they have to be escorted out. Everyone who's walking in is usually wet, either from floodwaters or from the rain. It just continues to rain here. It does not stop.
There was a picture, I showed it to Bill earlier, it's been all over social media, of some people, some elderly people, sitting waist high in water, and there's one woman who is knitting. And for a while, people were thinking this was a fake picture, it was staged somehow, but these were disabled elderly adults who were just waiting to be evacuated. Is that what that's like?
Yeah. And right now the issue is getting to the people who are in critical need of it. And that includes the elderly and that includes the disabled. There are people out there who are waist deep in water. There are people there who are knee deep in water inside of their homes. There are people who are managing on the second floor of their homes. The fact of the matter is they are not top priority right now unless they are in absolutely dire need of assistance. Now, I can tell you this. There are 185 of these rescues going on. They've already rescued 2,000 people. And there are people still in their homes who do need assistance to get out. And, civilians have really stepped up bringing some of these flat-bottom boats out there. They've been bringing in canoes. Some people actually, believe it or not, have former military vehicles that they're using to go over the water and rescue people. People bring them to dry land, and then it's essentially up to them to find a way to get to these evacuation shelters or wherever they need to get to. There's an app out there that allows people, it's called Zello Walkie Talkie. It's been used before, and it's like a civilian dispatch, and a lot of people are using that to say, hey, we need bottled water in this location, and maybe someone in the neighborhood can supply that, or maybe some guys are driving around with a boat, and a boat is needed, and they are able to find out where it is, and they're able to get there. So, kind of cool from that perspective, as some of these major water rescues are going on, that civilians are actually taking part in assisting.
Ryan, what's the number you're hearing in terms of homes that are just unsalvageable? Are you hearing those numbers yet?
Yeah, well, according to FEMA, I mean, we're talking in the hundreds of thousands in Houston alone. And, you know, it's probably just going to rise. I mean, you know, it doesn't take much to completely damage a home with water. And now when you're talking, you know, potentially 50 inches in the span of a week, you know, it's not good. And like I said, the rain just continues to fall. It has not stopped. We had a little bit of a break yesterday afternoon, about 2 hours where there was no rain. Some people actually managed to get out of their homes, kind of walk around a little bit to see some of the damage and the flooding, but then it started right back up again. So it's pretty bad.
Does this part of Houston, Ryan, have a history of flooding? Are they in a dangerous, high-risk area?
You know, there has been flooding here, but this is
nothing
been
like this.
Called catastrophic. I mean, this is 50 inches of rain. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's Houston or if it's Chicago or if it's Milwaukee or wherever. 50 inches of rain is going to be absolutely, dramatic and catastrophic, as they've said. And you know, people have called it biblical. I mean, they've never in Houston had this much rain in such a short period of time before.
ABC News correspondent and our friend and WGN newsman as well, Ryan Burrow, on the line with us. With all these predictions and with these warnings, why weren't more people evacuated?
Well, that's one of the criticisms right now for the mayor and city officials. why when you knew that this rain was coming and there was a potential for a lot of water, would you allow these people to stay? His response is, look, we've done evacuations before and they did not go well. You've got to essentially move 6.5 million people out of the city. And keep in mind, Houston is not too far behind Chicago as far as population goes. In fact, in the next decade, Houston may overtake Chicago's population. So imagine trying to push everyone out of Chicago, you know, in a span of 2 days. You've got only limited interstates to do it. You know, you'll have concern with people having gas, people having medical situations, and just flat out traffic. So he said that the best option for them was to have everyone hunker down and then do these rescues afterwards, and he's sticking by his guns on that.
If you see any of the footage, and it's all over the place, listeners, you can find it, just to have these people being rescued where water is literally up to their waists or higher as they're being rescued via the front door, I mean, it's just surreal to see that.
Yeah, and most of these people who are being rescued, what they've been doing is grabbing a couple personal possessions, whether it be some clothes and maybe pictures or something like that, throwing them in a garbage bag. And so when you see people walking, you know, it's kind of like people wading through water holding these garbage bags, trying to get to a location where these buses or trucks are picking people up. Talked to some people yesterday. They'd been walking 2 miles to try to just find somewhere to get to one of these buses. And, you know, it's not like you can grab an Uber or a taxi. All the roadways are flooded. You know, if you've got to get to a family or relative's home that's 2, 3, 4 miles away, you're walking, and that's your best option right now.
And all the electricity has to be cut off, right, so that one's getting electrocuted.
Actually, that's actually been very unique in this scenario. There's only been 3% of the city that has lost power during this. So that has allowed for pretty decent communication. People's cell phones can still work, and laptops and things like that. Lights are still working. You know, obviously it doesn't help the water situation, but it's not like one of these hurricanes where, boom, everyone's knocked out of power. You don't know where anyone's at. So that has kind of helped out a little bit in these rescue and relief efforts.
I thought that during floods, though, they purposely kill the electricity so that there's a lesser of a risk of electrocution.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ryan. It's my first time on the radio.
In the houses, I bet that's the case. I mean, you wouldn't want...
When you've got down power lines, that's an issue.
Yeah.
We really haven't seen that here. The winds have been pretty strong, and we have had some, you know, actual tornadoes in the area since the hurricane hit. But, you know, we really don't have that scenario.
We know you're very busy, and you've been reporting this all over the place. One final question. There are a lot of pets that have been misplaced as well, haven't there?
Yes. Well, here's the deal with the pets. Here's the deal with the pets. So when people first started arriving at these evacuation shelters yesterday, the Red Cross is there. They're welcoming people. They're having them sign in. How many children do you have? How old are you? What is your name? What's your location? Things like that. The only problem is they did not have the scenario set up yet for pets. So you've got all of these people leaving buses and trucks with their dogs, soaking wet dogs, obviously.
Yeah.
And they weren't letting them in because all of a sudden you might have people inside of the shelter who are allergic to these dogs.
Right.
You know, so they weren't willing to let them in yet, and these people who had been sitting out in the rain and flooding just got brought by a bus, and they're essentially being turned away. So that made people very, very upset. It turns out they did work it out. They opened up one section of the convention center just for people who have pets, so they can stay there with them, and that seems to have worked out pretty well.
God bless the people of Houston, and good luck to you and everyone out there, because really it's horrifying to look at these videos that are coming over. They really are. Stay safe, Ryan.
All right, take care, guys.
That's Ryan Burrow in Houston,
brave.
Texas. Well, I've always said that about Ryan.
But
he's very brave.
I know that as a broadcaster, and let's just say a journalist, because we are not.
Right.
You do have to go put yourself in danger.
Is.
I know, but I wouldn't do it.
No.
I really wouldn't.
No. I have volunteered you for dangerous missions, and you've turned them all down.
Volunteer yourself next time.
I can't. I'm a married man. Kids.
How about that app, though, Zello Walkie Talkie or something that
I never
said?
Heard of that until this.
But I just really have to hand it to people that come together in situations like this. It's just your neighbor has a flat bottom boat and said, you know what, these people are trapped, let's go do it. I know there are people, I heard Ryan on with Steve Cochran earlier, and these volunteers haven't slept for like 24 or 48 hours, and they're just trying to do whatever they can to help.
Bill Maher did a joke on Friday night saying that President Trump was quoted as saying there's some really fine people on both sides of this storm.
Oh, my God. That's pretty good.
That's pretty funny.
It's not too far off base, though, because I know Donald Trump did tweet something that a terrible situation going on in Houston. Just so you know, we're holding our end up well. We're doing our job. I don't know the exact tweet. I'm paraphrasing.
What did he mean by that?
He meant like, you know, we're doing a great job keeping this in order. Like just kind of tooting your own horn. Like we're doing everything. Not that we can. We're doing everything greatly, bigly.
All right. I guess so. I'm trying to find the story. I can't find it, speaking of tweets, about Scott Baio and his wife.
Oh,
do you know that story at all?
You know, Bill, this is something I just saw it as well. I cannot believe this to be the case. Now, listen, Joni Loves Chachi didn't go over very well.
Bite your tongue. Changed my life.
I loved Scott Baio when he was Chachi and he was on Happy Days. He was great. He was a little bit of a heartthrob.
You know who he looks just like, right?
Who?
My brother. My brother and Scott Baio look identical.
Well, then
it's frightening.
Bring your brother to work day is tomorrow. Come on, Adam. You're welcome.
He used to get it all the time. Like, we'd go someplace, and people would go, are you Scott Baio? And, of course, he'd do the honorable thing. Of course I'm Scott Baio.
Does he still look like him?
Because
I saw the picture in question when he was younger. He had the same kind of hair.
He doesn't look like him as much as he used to look just... I mean, it was incredible how much he looked like Scott Baio.
Well, we all loved Scott Baio on Happy Days. And I know the Joni Loves Chachi spinoff did not go very well. And, you know,
but he was
in
Charles in Charge. Didn't do it for you?
And I forgot that Joni passed away. I forgot Aaron Moran. I was doing like a little memorial of, you know, you can see who's passed away in 2017, and I was sad to remember that.
Yep.
But Scott Baio wows me more and more every day now, and not for his acting or his looks.
Both Scott and his wife, Renee, are in the news for things that they tweeted over the weekend. I will share them with you. I will warn you.
He will hope you don't share them, but...
They're a little controversial. Now, Scott kind of resurfaced at the Republican convention last year, a huge supporter of Donald Trump's. Scott Baio's wife, Renee, it says here, is the target of widespread social media disgust after she told a Sandy Hook mom, and I quote, maybe your children are in a better place. Here's where it started. On Thursday, the Happy Days actor retweeted a conspiracy theory meme that suggested... Now, keep in mind that this starts out idiotic and just gets crazier and crazier. He retweeted a conspiracy theory that suggested that the mother of murdered Sandy Hook teacher Vicky Soto and the mother of Charlottesville victim Heather Heyer were both portrayed by the same actress. So that these two women did not exist. This was an actress portraying these women, you know, who had just lost loved ones. The implication of the meme is that both deaths had been faked, but Baio soon apologized. Nelba Marquis Green, whose six-year-old daughter Anna died in the Sandy Hook shooting, called Baio out on his sensitivity. Here's what she said. I called him out for making fun of grieving mothers, and then he blocked me. We have more courage in one pinky. Saturday morning, Scott Baio's wife, that's Renee, gave her Twitter followers an update on a recent surgery that she had, writing that she had had a scary setback, a transfusion.
Would she break a nail?
Doesn't say. She had had a transfusion, and now she has she's resigned to bed rest. Marquis Green replied, I sure hope no one makes fun of you or suggests that you're acting, referring to the actor's conspiracy theory tweet from 2 days earlier. Instead, she said, I will hope that God blesses you and best wishes for a speedy recovery, which seems like
that's
a very
nice
thing of her to do, right? Baio's missus replied, I am sorry for your loss. However, maybe your children are in a better place. Your ugliness knows no bounds.
I will pray for you. Pray for yourself, honey.
Isn't that awful?
And, you know, this Alex Jones guy, who I had never heard of, but he's the guy who says that this was all a conspiracy, the whole Sandy Hook thing.
Yeah.
But now this Heather Heyer thing now is said to be a conspiracy as well.
There have been several people who have who have suggested that this, much like Sandy Hook, is a conspiracy, but you can disprove this in a matter of seconds. I mean, all you have to do is find one of the parents, like they have with this woman whose daughter died at Sandy Hook. They're not actors. They're real people who have really lost children. And what adds insult to injury more than somebody saying, hey, we get it, you're grieving, but let's be honest, you're faking this. You're an actor, right? No, they're not actors. They lost their kids in a terrible tragedy.
I really feel sick to my stomach here, and I don't know, maybe I'm just too naive, but what is the purpose of having this conspiracy? What would this have proven?
Well, in Alex Jones's case, he keeps saying that it's people seeking out sympathy. For instance, during the Virginia situation, the next day, Alex Jones went on the air and said that a lot of the people who were there under the guise of being KKK members or white supremacists were Jewish actors who wanted to make the situation look worse. That if you went underneath the hoods, you would find out that some of those people were Jewish actors who were just, what they were getting out of this is making the situation look worse. Well, nothing could be further from the truth.
Who would do that?
Nobody would do that. Nobody would do that.
Why is this guy able to spew this crap?
Because he loves attention. He loves people talking about him. And he's getting his way. But, I mean, he's made a career out of doing exactly this, out of being a conspiracy theorist, out of having ideas that are not only ungrounded, but honestly, you can't get darker and crazier than saying that some of the white supremacists or KKK members were Jewish actors that wanted to make that side look bad.
Who believes that?
There are plenty of people who believe it. He has a built-in audience who love this kind of stuff because, see what people will do? Well, no.
They won't do that.
They won't do that.
Is he also a guy who thinks 9/11 was an inside job?
I don't know where he stands on 9/11. There are plenty of people who do, but I don't know where he stands on that.
I think the internet needs to be unplugged.
Right.
I mean, just pull the big fat plug.
We tried it for a while. We had the internet for a while. We abused the privilege. It's time to close it down.
Absolutely. No more Twitter. Sorry, Donald Trump. President Donald Trump.
Right.
No more internet. Facebook's done. I want to go back to the rotary phone and just be bored with life
right.
again. Please.
That's when life was better, when we ran out of toys. Isn't it upsetting? I mean, and this guy, Alex Jones, has made quite a name for himself over the last couple of years, and he's got a very big following, really big following, because there's plenty of people who easily fall prey to stuff like this, who want to think that there's this kind of thing going on. But let's be realistic.
Listen, I know the whole JFK conspiracy theory. And when I was in college, we had a teacher who was kind of obsessed with it and went and showed different sides. And you can see how maybe, wow, you don't really know where the shots are coming from. And
there's a lot of weird, bizarre,
yes.
unanswered questions. I will give you that.
Okay, but like Sandy Hook involving children being murdered.
Right.
How in the world would that be?
Who gains from that?
That's my question, I guess, to you.
To fake something like that. And if you think about it just for a second, I know you have to go into a very dark corner to think this way, but think about if you were one of the parents of those kids and you had the ultimate, the worst possible scenario for your child, that you sent them off to school one day and they didn't return, and think about how trying to rebound off of something like that, and then you get a guy who goes out of his way to say, well, that was obviously faked. The government faked that. How badly does that burn?
I know. I can't even imagine it.
It's awful.
That's what I mean. There's got to be some, for all of our sakes, there has to be something where news cannot go out on the internet unless it's fact-checked by an unbiased company.
The internet would close down. You couldn't have the internet anymore. Is that what you want?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember the first time I saw him, Alex Jones. I'm trying to remember why he was on The View, but they put him on The View for some reason as a guest. And I had heard of him, but I had never seen him before. And then all of a sudden he goes into full Alex Jones mode, which is just really super loud and super obnoxious. And the ladies on The View kept trying to censor him and stop him. And he's not to be stopped. And he kept calling out his website, that tells all the truth. if you want to know more about this, this is the website you want to visit and stuff like that. And they couldn't shut him down, and they finally shut him down. And I said to myself, well, that guy, did he do more harm or more good? Would anybody, after seeing him for the last 8 minutes, would you even visit that website? And then the next day I read that his website broke every record it's ever broken. You know, more people visited him that day than ever before. So.
Well, people look at an accident on the roadway too, but how many, I don't know. And then I didn't watch the MTV Video Awards last night.
I didn't see it live, but last night on almost any website you'd go to, they showed the fashions, quote unquote, of what you missed at the what were they called? The VMA Awards? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Video Music Awards. Right? Yes.
All right. So somebody, who was it? Somebody has a dress that you can see completely through.
Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato.
The black lace one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that too.
You can see anything you want to see. It's,
hello.
It's there. There's your conspiracy theory.
And then I just brought this up because Heather Heyer's mom, Susan Bro, actually was one of the presenters last night and did
she?
A speech. And she got up there. The persistent theme throughout the night, many artists and presenters on the stage, was to call for unity and equality. Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris Jackson, said that America has zero tolerance for violence, hatred, and racism. And Susan Bro, whose daughter, Heather Heyer, was killed when a man drove his car into a crowd in Charlottesville, said people all over the world had been inspired by her daughter's courage. Here's her quote. I want people to know that Heather never marched alone. She was joined by people from every race and every background in this country. And she had gone on to say something about, you know, my daughter would be proud that she's being remembered here on this show. And they also gave the suicide prevention hotline number. They really kind of took it to a new social justice that I've not seen happen on that show before.
There was also a gathering. Again, I've only seen pictures of this. I didn't see it live. But several members of the branches, the various branches of the military, transgender people from the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines, they were all there on stage. And I don't know exactly what took place because I only saw still photographs of it. But good, because if their target is younger, impressionable people,
they're hitting the mark.
Seeing some unity there, then that's progress.
That is really good. I don't watch it anymore because I don't even know if they show videos on MTV anymore. So how can they give the Video Music Awards?
A good question. I don't have an answer to your question. I don't know. I stopped watching. The last couple of years, I've tuned in and out of it, and I always do this game where I want to see, like, when I recognize somebody. Like, every once in a while, I go, okay, I know who Katy Perry is. I'll stay with it for a few minutes. And, oh, there's Taylor Swift. I know who that is. But then
you feel
they
old,
bring out
you?
A bunch of people that I have no idea who they are.
I don't know them either, but you're right. The target audience is the young kids that are watching this.
So that's
a great message.
That's a very strong message. It really is. All right, let's do this. We must take a break. We'll come back. We'll close things off in just a few minutes. It's Bill Effen. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Wendy, that looks like it for today's show.
It's the clown?
It the clown.
The
no,
Stephen King
no,
thing?
No, not that. No.
Now the word it scares me.
Tomorrow, Bridget Carey from CNET will be on, and I will ask her why I got so insane while I had virtual reality on for the first time.
She's been talking about this for over a year now, how cool it was.
I didn't know it was that cool. I thought it'd be cool, but it was way cooler than I even imagined.
But can you see now why there are people that have virtual reality girlfriends?
Yeah.
You said that on the air.
Yeah.
But
does that
looks...
come with the kit, or is that extra? Got to pay extra for that?
Extra.
All right. I don't want to get in any trouble. All right.
Then you shouldn't have it.
I should not have it. I should not have it. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciated. Tomorrow should be a good one. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.